Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you on this 19th day of December, a Thursday morning. Chilly outside. There was definitely frost as I headed out the door this morning. So if you're just waking up, you might have to do a little scraping. The frost was light enough out of my house that just a little spray of the windshield fluid got it off there. So that was not a problem.
How much of that fluid do we use during the winter just trying to defrost our window? We
I'm sure.
Keep spraying it 10 times, hoping that that next time is going to do the trick.
Today it worked, and under a lot of circumstances, it would not. We're glad you're with us this morning. Still got lots to get to. Jim Talent coming up. We're going to talk about those new ammunition vending machines and whether or not we're going to see them in Missouri anytime soon. We're going to talk to the guy that runs the company who came up with the idea here at the bottom of the hour. So, Kim St. Ange, I heard you report here at the top of the news that there were some people in Eureka who thought they saw like a drone from a foreign government over their house, and it ends up it was simply a light show.
Yeah, several calls to 911. There were so many that police decided they actually dispatched crews out there, and it was this thing called the Light Cycles Light Show, which is some new outdoor light and digital art installation that's going on through February. So that last night was not the only night that you will see all these lights and probably think that they're drones.
The thing we've heard about all along is that everybody's thinking, well, these are something else. Like, suddenly, everybody on the East Coast is confusing the same aircraft they've been watching for years come in and out of airports as drones. And I think that's nonsense. Although, Kim and I both thought at some point this morning that we might have seen a drone. It's the power of suggestion. I'm driving down Highway 40, coming through Ladue there, east, and I see these twinkling lights up ahead of me, and I'm like, I wonder what that is. It doesn't look like standard aircraft lights, so I pulled my camera down and hit record, and I record a little bit of video of it. Going back, you saw the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was unusual.
I texted you immediately.
You did text me immediately. I went back and looked at the video. I think it was a helicopter.
I don't think so. It's too small.
I could see the back, like a little light further back, like a tail light.
Mark,
sort of
it would be a helicopter for a mouse. It was too small to be a helicopter.
I think it was just up pretty
high. I think
high.
It was a drone.
I don't know if it was a drone or not. If not, if it was, it was surveilling the Galleria. I can't imagine
they
why.
They probably need that, to be honest. I'm not saying they're doing anything nefarious. I'm just saying I don't think it was a helicopter.
I don't know. It could have been. Everybody's on high alert for drones these days, so probably not a great Christmas gift if that's what you're thinking of getting your kid. They may get shot down over their house. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories right now, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Congress is about to pass a bill that blows away your taxpayer money, but they made it over 1,500 pages long so you wouldn't read it. I did you a favor. I read it for you.
Yeah, thank you. Vivek Ramaswamy, with his large brain, has read through this thing. So has Elon Musk, apparently. So has Donald Trump. And they've all decided they don't like it. If you listen to the mainstream media this morning, Elon Musk is currently the unelected leader of the free world.
they were about to pass the bill, and Musk intervened, and Trump followed him, and now we're headed into this crisis period.
I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you for a minute. If you look at the mainstream media headlines this morning, the talking points must have gone out. Tell everybody to say, well, why is the unelected Elon Musk making all of the decisions?
That child can stay. They can stay with a relative. They can stay with the other parent, or they can take them with them. We don't deport U.S. citizens. But they put themselves in the position. We didn't.
Thank you. Tom Holman was on yesterday. He was all over the place. He was on CNN and pointing out the fact that on day one, they will start deporting people because they already know who they are. And that's kind of what the whole thing gets down to.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm sorry. I had to play it again. I played it earlier in the show, but I did get diagnosed with bronchitis yesterday. So I'm on a different antibiotic than I was on before that apparently the other one doesn't target that. And I've never felt bad, but immediately somebody texted me and said, you got to play the Sweet Brown thing.
Hey, everyone, when you have Sweet Brown stuck in your head all day, just know that you can blame Mark Cox.
We went back and dug it up just for you because you have to listen. If you haven't listened to it in a while, the key is to listen to you have to listen to the original Sweet Brown because remember this lady became famous because there was a fire at her apartment complex and they were looking for people, as news reporters do, outside to comment on the fact that there was a fire. And somebody, thank goodness, stumbled upon a woman whose name was put up on the Chyron as Sweet Brown. And we thank them for that just about every day.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Sorry. I know it will stick in your brain like the Baby Shark song all day, but we had to play it. I've always wondered, and I don't know the answer to this. I really don't. I wonder if she ever made any money off that. I wonder if she ever profited from the brief fame that she got through all of that.
Let's go to Wikipedia as our source.
Hey, you think Wikipedia probably has the answer to that question, Carl? Edited many times over the years as to whether or not Sweet Brown made a dime off of her. She didn't have... Listen. Oh, my goodness. All right. Sorry about that.
Hold on. It says, here's an article.
What's it say?
If this is legitimate. Sweet Brown cashes in on internet fame with new commercial. She was in a commercial?
I don't know. I wonder what happened to her. This was many years ago.
That YouTube clip that you just played, or one of them, I know there's a million out there, that one had more than 17 million views.
Yep.
She appeared in commercials for CJ Bail Bonds, Zert, whatever that is, Zert.com, Canada. And some other home whatever. Yep. So it sounds like she did make some money.
She
was in a
Tyler Perry movie.
Wow.
A Madea Christmas.
And she'll be a co-host on Cheaters. That sounds nice. Which is a hidden camera reality TV series. Brown has become the face of Shortline, which is a Tulsa, Oklahoma dental clinic. What? She'll probably say, ain't nobody got time for cavities.
So it was in Tulsa.
Brush your
I was trying to remember
floss.
What town it was in. Yeah, that's good. Sorry to subject you to that again, but...
You're not that sorry.
I'm not that sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not sorry. It is Festivus for us here on the show today because we as a crew here, although Sue's not with us today, she will be back next week. We'll not be together again until after Christmas. So I brought some gifts in for the crew. We're going to do that probably in the next hour, in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, just to spread the cheer and say thank you for a fantastic year and how much we appreciate everybody. Coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent. He's lived through a government shutdown or two in his life as a politician. I'm going to get his take on that whole thing. And at the bottom of the hour, what could be better? Going to the convenience store, picking up a six-pack and maybe a 200-pack of AR ammunition. I mean, I think that's a great idea. Those vending machines may be coming soon to a convenience store near you. We'll talk about it with the owner at the bottom of the hour.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Congress is about to pass a bill that blows away your taxpayer money, but they made it over 1,500 pages long so you wouldn't read it. I did you a favor. I read it for you.
It's supposed to be about keeping government operations open and providing disaster relief aid to hurricane victims, which I'm sympathetic to. But if you read the bill carefully, it contains pay raises for members of Congress, and I'm not making this up, an expansion of their federal health benefits. It contains all kinds of special interests and pork funding, including opening up a new stadium in Washington, D.C. It renews the Global Engagement Center, which is a key node of the censorship industrial complex. And the worst part is, they didn't want you to know about any of it, and that's why they made this a last-minute jam job. The reason I'm co-heading DOGE is I think we need outsiders to bring actual accountability to Washington, D.C. So feel free to call your congressman and let them know how you feel about it.
All right, we've got former Senator Jim Talat on the phone with us this morning. Jim, here we find ourselves on the verge of holiday break for Congress, and everybody wants to get out of town, and it looks like Donald Trump and Elon Musk are saying, well, hey, wait a minute. What are we trying to do here? What do you think about this bill that they're calling a CR?
Well, it's clearly not going to pass. It's a wake-up call, I think, for everybody. I mean, first of all, leadership's going to have to be more transparent going forward. They're going to have to err on the side of it. And talking about, I mean, including about tactics, and why they're managing things the way they're managing things. President and his people, if they want things like a debt limit increase on a CR, they're going to have to get in early and let people know that they want that early. And everybody's going to have to understand that when you got a two-vote majority in the House, either you're going to get you have to get Democratic votes, or you have to get 100%. Not 99%, 100% of the Republicans, which means the bills, nobody's going to get everything they want, and everybody's going to have something in it they don't like. And so we need transparent discussions on a timely basis so that those of us in the hinterland understand what's going on and understand the compromises that are made. So there's a bunch of errors on the part of a bunch of people here. They can fix this, but when they get to the real agenda next year, they're going to have to do it right.
No, I agree. But, isn't it obvious? I mean, no, Chuck Schumer still controls the strings on the Senate side. He's got a lot of negotiating power for that reason. It's pretty obvious to me there are things stuck in here that Mike Johnson didn't like. I'm just shocked that he thought he had to put up with it. What am I missing?
And see, that's the problem. See, he hasn't explained why he's putting up with it. Now, what I suspect, it would be nice to know, is that he didn't think he could pass a CR just with Republican votes. I mean, what has he got? He's got like a 2 or 3 vote majority as it is now, a 4 or 5 vote majority, something like that. And he needed the Democrats. And so, yeah, this is the kind of bill you're going to get. Look, the Democrats spent $4 trillion in the last 4 years. They're going to spend a lot of money on this stuff. There are also things in there that Republican constituencies wanted. The farmers are hurting badly. Yeah, years of bad commodity prices, disasters, et cetera. So I'm not justifying it, Mark. What I'm saying is what the clips you had on are correct. The worst of what Vivek said is right. The worst thing about this is that nobody knew about it until like the day before they were supposed to vote for it. They're not going to be able to do business that way going forward. They're not. And, that means getting out on new shows and podcasts and telling people, you know, why you're managing the Congress the way you're managing it.
It's funny because we were talking to Congressman Eric Burleson this morning just before 6:30, and he was talking about the impact that this would have if there were to be a government shutdown. He said 85% of people won't even notice the thing, and the other 15%, heck, they actually like this because essentially it means they get to go home, they have a vacation, they're with their family over the holidays, and then when they come back, they get back pay.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that the course ahead here is to pass a clean CR, even if it's very short term, okay, send that over to the Senate. And then if the Democrats won't pass that, then they're the reason the government shut down. There so you're go. Right. Number one, it won't cause that much danger or that many problems. I mean, it just looks bad. The public doesn't like it. I mean, let's not delude ourselves into thinking that voters think it's a good thing when the government shuts down, because the people in the middle spectrum don't. But if the House has passed a clean CR, even for 30 days or 60 days, and the Democrats won't pass it in the Senate, then they can explain why the government shut down, right? And that, I think, is probably the best solution going forward.
It's true. The Republicans always seem to lose that argument. But to me, this is all the stars lining up. There's not an election coming up. There's a new administration coming in with control of both houses of Congress and the White House. The Republicans, any political damage that might result from a 2-week government shutdown will be long forgotten by the next election cycle, correct? Which would be November at the earliest.
This is a wake-up call, and it's in plenty of time if we're talking about the politics of it. Yeah. But see, the question I've got, and I haven't heard anybody ask Johnson or Scalise this, do they have the votes to pass a clean CR?
Yes.
Okay. If they don't, if they bring it up and it fails, okay, then it looks like they can't run the House, which, of course, is true, right? So I suspect that Johnson wanted to clear the decks so they could take on the priorities for next year. And he's right to want to do that. I mean, it's the tax bill, energy reduction, border security, okay? Those are the three priorities. Johnson wants to clear everything else out of the way. So does the president. That's why he asked him for a debt limit increase. And then we moved to the priorities, and he probably felt like, you know, if I do a deal with the Democrats, and I have no inside information, so if I'm misspeaking, he probably felt, I'll do a deal with the Democrats. There's going to be a lot of stuff in it that's not good, but we'll pass it, we'll deal with it next year, and we'll get on to the priorities. But obviously, he wasn't transparent enough, and he jumped, and particularly with a pay raise. You can't put a pay raise in like this.
No.
Well, and quite a few people, Republicans, have been frustrated with Mike Johnson, feeling like he's worked too closely with the Democrats and compromised on many things. Is this ultimately the straw that breaks the camel's back and could cost him his job as Speaker?
Well, I hope not, because I think he's done a pretty good job. I really do. And I'm going to tell you, these issues are going to keep coming up. That's what I said before, Kim. I mean, nobody's going to get everything they want. Everybody's going to have to accept something they don't want. And it doesn't matter whether it's Johnson or Scalise or Jim Jordan or Tom Massey or whoever's running the place. It's the result of the fact that you got a 2-vote majority. If they had 240, I'll give you an example. The tax bill, which absolutely crucial. They're going to have to raise the cap on the SALT deduction. That's the deduction for state and local taxes.
Yep.
I wouldn't like that. I don't think that cap hurts people in Missouri very much. But the Northeasterners are not going to vote for it, the Northeastern Republicans, unless they get some SALT relief. I mentioned the farmers before. I mean, you know, if you're representing a farm community where they're starting to sell, having to auction off family farms because the farm economy has been so bad for several years, you've got to have some relief. I mean, this is the way it is. So, but again, they needed to get out front on this stuff. They needed to be talking about it. They need to explain to Vivek and Ilan, you know, the realities of this kind of thing. And so I think this actually could end up being very healthy because it's a wake-up call for everybody. The president's going to have to be more engaged. This is in his first term. My sense of it was that Trump was not as personally engaged in congressional matters. I know you got to go. I think that may have to change in the first 6-8 months.
Good point. Jim Talent, listen, Merry Christmas to you and Brenda and the family.
Hey, same to you guys.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Jim Talent, former Missouri senator, good to get his take. He's been there in the House and the Senate side with what's going on up in the swamp. Coming up, Kim brought this up on a whim yesterday. How would you like a convenience store with an ammunition dispenser in it? Like a cigarette dispenser kind of thing.
That's a reality. We're going to talk to the guy who runs the company right after the break. Stay tuned.
Hell yes. We're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
I know it's not 2A Tuesday, but I had to play a little Beto O'Rourke there for you, the crazy guy from Texas who's always trying to grab your guns. Hey, you know, there's been a serious debate. In fact, Congressman Eric Burleson, we had him on earlier this morning from the District 7 here in Missouri. One of his issues in the new Congress when he gets sworn, when they take office again on the 3rd, is to push for getting rid of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I have long argued that that would make a much better convenience store than government agency. I think that just makes a lot of sense to me in so many ways. But here's the deal. If you go to your local convenience store or your grocery store, there are lots of vending machines as you leave. You could buy a lottery ticket in a lot of these things. You can buy an AirPods. I've seen iPods and all kinds of stuff in these vending machines. Why not ammunition? Kim, you brought this up in your whim yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I found this very fascinating.
I think it's just a fantastic idea. And right now we want to talk to Grant Majors. He's the CEO of American Rounds, AmericanRounds.com. He has put this into reality. And Grant, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great this morning. I'm just getting caffeinated. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to hear that. You need it at this hour. Trust me, we're used to being up this early. So I want to just point out, as of right now, to my knowledge, your vending machines are not available in Missouri or Illinois. Correct?
That's correct. We have a lot of requests, particularly for Missouri. And so, you know, we're planning on expanding there eventually. Illinois is a little bit different just with some of the laws there.
Oh, you bet. No, yeah. You think
we're not surprised.
J.B. Pritzker might meet you at the border and try to stop you from coming into the state because he's wacko. But in Oklahoma and Alabama, you've already got these vending machines out, correct?
Right. So we have Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas. We've got about... three more getting ready to go into stores here pretty soon, and then more in Texas, Colorado. So yeah, we're starting to grow.
How have sales been so far? I'm sure you've had a lot of people like us who would be in favor of it, and quite a few people pushing back.
Yeah, you know, sales have been they've been steady and growing a little bit. It takes customers a little bit to get comfortable with the technology that we're using and get comfortable with us as a company. You know, there's usually, you know, two extremes. Either, you know, it's those who love it and then those who hate it, or, you know, but so far so good. You know, we're doing a lot more than just ammunition. So in 25, we're bringing in red dots, and we're bringing in mag loaders, cleaning supplies. We're bringing in a lot of different products and offerings.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. So one thing Kim addressed yesterday when she first when she found your story was the security issue, right? I mean, some people want you to show an ID, prove you're 21, all that. How do you handle that with your machines?
Yeah, so the technology we're using is, you know, similar to what most people have experienced if they've gone through the airport. You know, we scan an ID. It's the same reader that the TSA uses. It does a quick facial recognition. It just takes a second just to pair you to the ID. It's not anything we store. We don't do background checks. We don't store that data. It's just for the point of transaction, just to verify that the person is who they say they are at the machine.
Yeah. And have to be 21 and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, that's the whole thing about it is that, and this is what I would argue with these people who are worried about this. It's nobody's business. If I want to stop and buy a 50 pack of 9mm, I'm on my way to the shooting range. Where I get it, she's none of their business. I just don't understand why anybody thinks they should be able to that they're somehow preventing crime if they don't allow one of these vending machines in their local store. Is that the kind of pushback you've gotten on it?
Yeah, you know, it's really a misconception, and a lot of that's from people that don't understand the market and how ammunition sold today. Right. I mean, for instance, unfortunately, there was, you know, another tragedy just a few days ago. And that, you know, the average school shooting, the average age is 17. You know, and today, you know, any 15-year-old can go online with their parents' information and they can have 1,000 rounds of, you know, a 223 shipped right to their house. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, that's kind of why we set the bar at 21. We know a lot of the ages, most ages states are 18 for rifle and shotgun, but we wanted to kind of the nature of what we're doing, we wanted to kind of take that extra security step.
I heard some reporter in one of the stories trying to say, explain your reasoning for putting this machine next to a school. I guess that was where the grocery store was located. And you rightfully pointed out, you said, go across the school. I don't know how many yards away. There's another store that's been selling ammo, though, for how many years? And you didn't question that, but somehow this is different.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much, I think it's just kind of a little bit of the shock value. I mean, people hear they hear this concept of, you know, vending machine combined with ammunition, combined with grocery store, and, you know, they tend to blow a gasket. But they don't really, these aren't vending machines like, you know, getting a candy bar or a bag of chips.
No.
I mean, this is not the same concept. We prefer the term, you know, automated retail machine. That's really what it is. But, there's a hardware store just right across the street from that school that's been selling ammo for years.
That's crazy. Grant Majors with the CEO of American Rounds. I mean, I think it's a great idea. Now, here's what I want to know. The next generation, I can go buy an AR, right? I can just punch in my information and... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I know some people are going to carry it to that. They're good because
they are.
I mean, you could never do that because you have to fill out the forms and do the background check. And I mean, it's just I knew exactly how the mainstream media would play a story like this.
Yeah, it's been, you know, what they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's true.
We have a franchise model of our business. And, you know, in the month of July, when the media really kind of took off with what we were doing, we had over 1,000 requests for franchises.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, no such thing as as bad publicity, I suppose.
This is true. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to ask this as a consumer. My assumption is if I stop at the local gas station and buy a candy bar, I'm paying a little more for it. It is a convenience item. I mean, obviously you need to make money on it, but I mean, is it much more expensive than going to an ammo store to buy the ammo?
No, we try to keep up with the big box retailers, and we try to keep the price point within plus or minus 5%. And one of the great things about the machines, if we're in a market and someone notices we're significantly higher on a product, they can just shoot us an email and we can change the price at any machine at any time just with some keystrokes.
How are you choosing where these are going? You mentioned you've had quite a few requests in Missouri. Are those all grocery stores? What kinds of stores are these?
Yeah, we've had requests in grocery stores, hardware stores, convenience stores. I mean, we've even had a request in a hair salon in East Texas.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we've had boot stores. We've had all kinds of requests, but we do have some selection criteria. We don't put them in liquor stores or vape stores or places like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or you know, the corner bar, whatever the case may be.
The corner bar, for sure.
That's great. So if you go to AmericanRounds.com, you can find out more about the machines. Plus, there's even a link right up at the top for the franchise opportunities, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we'd love for people to visit and get more information. And we're going to continue to bring out more offerings. You know, we've been working with the NRA on doing NRA memberships potentially at the machines, USCCA insurance. I mean, all kinds of various things.
Great opportunities there. And I just wonder if maybe you can address this for Missouri since you've had some interest here. Is there any legal reason why you wouldn't be able to do it? I mean, they wouldn't have to change any laws to allow you to do this, right?
No. So, I mean, realistically, we could, from a legal standpoint, we could go into all 50 states.
Right.
There's a handful of states, you know, that are requiring background checks and things of that nature. And we're choosing not to go into those, and that's just, out of our Second Amendment principles. But not for Missouri. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to getting there.
We are red-blooded Americans up here for sure. Grant, where are you based right now?
We're in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I'll direct people to AmericanRounds.com if they want to find out more information on it. Grant, thank you for your time, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys and your families. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you. And keep supporting the Second Amendment. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe by the end of next year, we could see some of these machines here in Missouri.
And why not? I mean, I could see some crazy place like California where you have to do a background check to get for ammunition. Camo. I hope somebody's challenging that in court. That's stupid.
I hope you get a franchise, Mark.
Business investment opportunity.
Well,
Mark?
I mean, I don't know how much the machines cost, but I mean, I remember when the Redbox thing first, before the Redbox thing came out, there was a company out of Florida that was offering, that was franchising video machines like that, where you could stock them with movies and rent them. But if I remember correctly, I don't know how that business model worked out for them. I looked into it. And you put down X amount of dollars, you get the machines, you find places to put them, college campuses, places like that. But the markup was like, I don't know, you were charging $4 or $5 for a rental. Well, the next year, Redbox comes out at every McDonald's in the world,
and
the rentals were a dollar. Mm-hmm. I mean, they completely undercut the market. So I don't know what those people did, but this is a completely different beast. I think this is a great idea. So, looking forward to running into one of these at a grocery store sometime soon. We'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim this time?
Well, Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency in California over the bird flu. You guys want to know how many cases there have been of bird flu in humans in California?
There must have been 10,000.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait to find out that number after the break.
Okay, back in a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
California has declared a state of emergency in response to the bird flu. Governor Gavin Newsom made the proclamation in order to streamline and expedite the state's response to the virus.
Oh, there we go. Gavin Newsom already declaring a state of emergency in the state of California. Do you want to know how many cases there have been in California?
Well, there have to have been tens of thousands. I mean, the threat to human life must be incredible for Gavin Newsom to do something like that.
Yeah, you'd think very close to thousands and thousands. The actual number is about 32.
32. Aren't there like 20 million people just in L.A.?
Yeah.
And 32 have gotten bird flu.
You know how many people nationwide have come down with bird flu?
33? I don't know. How many?
61.
Wow.
61. I'm assuming
But half of them are in California.
Well, yeah.
That's an emergency.
So I'm assuming that his declaration of this state of emergency had something to do with the fact that the CDC comes out yesterday and says that they've reported the first person to develop a severe illness from the bird flu. They've been hospitalized in Louisiana. They think that the person had contact with sick and dead birds in their backyard. They, I guess, have them, and that's how they contracted this. Because even at this point, despite all the 61 cases, no human-to-human contact. It's not spreading human-to-human.
They need to stop calling it bird flu because it's giving people bad feelings about birds.
You know, have we even asked the birds how they feel about this?
I don't know. We should and see if they parrot each other because we need to know what they're doing. And here's the thing. Remember, they wouldn't call it monkeypox anymore. They called it M-pox out of fear of offending the monkeys.
Then you know what? I'm sorry. Now I'm seeing 34. When I initially looked this up, I saw 32. Now I'm seeing 34 reported human cases in California. But
Okay. Maybe
we call it bee flu because you're right. I wasn't being considerate enough about the birds, and I feel really bad about that. So I'd like to make a public apology on the air. Birds, I am really sorry.
Has anyone died in California from it?
No.
Well, so
no,
why wasn't...
This is the first serious case in the entire country is the one in Louisiana that was reported yesterday. And that's why everyone is freaking out. And of course, they're saying, you know, I put this out on X about how idiotic this is, but not surprising to anybody who knows how idiotic Gavin Newsom is. And they said, well, this is just to expedite to make sure that the state has access to more resources. I get that. I know how these work. But do I think it's warranted in this case? Absolutely not. The next thing we know, Gavin Newsom is going to say, despite the fact that there's been no human-to-human spread of this, they're going to say, you know what, just out of precaution, why don't you just go ahead and mask up?
I think
just
we
to
need
be
to,
safe.
No. What needs to happen is
maybe get a vaccine, too.
We need to shut down all of the birdhouses. If you have a bird feeder or a birdhouse, you need to shut it down. You need to isolate it. And you need to watch your neighbors and report whether or not they're still feeding the Capistranos, the birds in their backyard from Capistrano, and then you can report your neighbor.
Isn't it funny because that sounds so ridiculous, and it is, but that was the reality we were all living in COVID.
We shut things down.
It sounds
down.
Like a movie.
Yes. And you know if it's going to come from anywhere, it's going to come from crazy California.
Well, maybe people are going to get those checks that we were getting, remember?
Yeah.
People can go on unemployment, get all the money, and then we can create issues with there not being any jobs when people finally go back. I mean, how many years, we're what, 2 years out from when they were going crazy over it? Because wasn't even 2022 in some cases, certain areas were still acting like this was some major thing. And still, it seems like places have not been able to fully bounce back. We know businesses went out of business.
We should come up with a vending machine for bird masks.
Mm.
Because if we put masks on all these birds, it would protect people from getting bird flu.
Right. And if the birds care about protecting one another, then they would wear a mask, even if they don't think that. If there's no research to back up the fact that it works, it doesn't matter. You're a bird killer if you don't wear a mask yourself. In fact, I think, have we had a vaccine yet? Because all the birds should also get vaccines and maybe like 50 boosters.
But birds,
just to be safe.
Birds don't have ears. How are they going to wear the masks?
I don't know. That's not our problem. They need to wear a mask.
It's a problem. You know, Gavin Newsom is thinking up ways to use this to his political advantage. And when you call it a crisis, as Rahm Emanuel reminded us, you can take advantage of a good crisis. Did you hear what he, not off the subject for just a minute, but did you hear what he did yesterday? So the Biden administration is doing everything it can to try to cement its green policies and crazy lefty government regulations in place before Donald Trump takes effect. Even though they know that the administration's about to change, there'll be a new EPA director, there's going to be all of this. Yesterday, the EPA granted California's permission to ban all new gas-powered car sales by 2035. Governor Newsom pushed for this. As soon as the Trump guy takes office, they're going to reverse it. But it doesn't matter because Gavin Newsom says it's a state's right issue. And by golly, if they want to ban gas-powered cars, they should be able to do it. Do you know how many millions of people there are now? Wouldn't ban the sale of used gas-powered cars. You just couldn't sell a brand new car in the state of California. And you may say to yourself, just like with this bird flu thing, well, that doesn't impact me. But it does. Because it's such a huge consumer market, decisions made in California have a ripple effect around the country. Mm-hmm. The car manufacturers are going to have they have a choice. They either stop selling in California because EV sales are awful. They're not going to be able to sell EVs in California. Even if that's the only thing available, the sales aren't going to go up significantly. So suddenly, everybody's only going to be buying used cars. So what do the manufacturers do, right? Do they not make as many gas-powered cars? It won't. If there's no demand in California because they can't sell them, then it trickles down to other parts of the country. It's going to affect our pricing, probably, because they pass silly crap like this in California. They're completely nuts.
I know the weather is nice in California. You have the beautiful ocean. It's so pretty there, but why do you want to live there?
It's insane. I have an aunt that lived there for years and years and years, and she and my uncle finally left a few years ago because the taxes and the COVID combination with, they were already sick of the taxes, but the COVID regulations on top of everything else, they lived just outside of Palm Springs. They just couldn't take it anymore. They were isolated. They weren't allowed to go anywhere. Businesses were closed. You know, you couldn't go in certain stores, and they moved to South Carolina.
I still have relatives there. Quite a few. I don't get it.
I mean, if it's your home, it's like Annie Fry always says about living in Illinois, and I get this. It's my home. I know the politicians are crazy, but it's my home. I get that to some extent. But this Gavin Newsom guy is out of control. To think that he might be considered the front runner for the Democrat nomination in the 2028, he might be.
There had to be a reason why he was willing to debate Ron. Well, but I'm saying debate Ron DeSantis. Why else would he do that?
And not challenge Kamala Harris because he knew she would lose.
Bingo.
And he knew it would tee him up to be a front runner.
Get ready.
These people are dangerously insane. Can I just tell you that? Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Griff Jenkins right off the top of the hour. Shannon Bream is going to join us to talk about the possible government shutdown at about 8:20. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.